allows you to record messages. And I have, last count, 410 messages. And they're recordings. They're recordings as I'm driving down the road or if I'm studying or at home or someplace and the Lord gives me a word, I'll record it on here. How many has that on your phone? It's really handy. You should use it if you don't. It should be there. But a lot of the recordings on this are recordings from Dr. James Finn. Dr. Finn, who's my brother-in-law and has been for many years, president of Bible colleges and pastored that great church. Sis, what was the name of your radio program that you had? Do you remember? Harvest Time. Was that every day? Every Sunday. And that went all over New York. Nancy's a preacher in her own right as well. But I have hundreds of Finnisms. That's what they're called. Now, I'm not the only one that calls them that. The other day, I was with Dr. Minnick down in Little Rock, and I said, listen to this. And I'd told him about them before already. And I played a few of them, and he said, I want all of these. So I have been taking these recordings and sending them to Nashville. And I'm not sure, we have a bunch of them typed out. Lonnie's typed out a couple hundred for me, and we've got more to go. But they're truths that God gives Dr. Finn. When he, just getting ready to leave New York, Lonnie, stick that picture up. This is the guy that was pastoring up there. I guess you have it. Do you have it? There he is. That's Dr. Finn in New York. And we trimmed his beard and gave him a haircut, and he looks so much nicer now. But for many, many years, this man preached with fervency like you. I can't even begin to tell you. I'm trying to get some of his cassettes collected off in CDs so you can listen to him paint the walls and then burn the paint off the walls with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. But this man has been a tremendous stability in my life. And do you love Ruth and I? Do you? Four of you do. That's enough. That's plenty. We love you back. But I want to tell you something selfishly. This man preaches, and you get the benefit of his wisdom, but he preaches for me because he's been such a strength in my life. And so I appreciate that you all get to hear it and you online get to. But he has been a tremendous strength to me. And sometime I might let you listen to some Finnisms. They are absolutely, or probably with Dr. Minnick. He just put out his magazine, his latest magazine in Nashville of Life Fellowship. And Dr. Finn was featured in there on the power of organized prayer. 6 points, I believe it was. And your wisdom and your experience and your anointing is invaluable to the church. Can someone say amen? And we appreciate you. Would you stand in honor of Dr. James Finn as he's coming, this bishop, as he's coming tonight, and he's going to spread the word. We can just give him a hand of thanks. He and Nancy, would you? Thank you so very much. And that's for you too, sis, both of you all. Praise the Lord. We'll get you seated. You can be seated. All right. Test that mic, Dr. Finn. Are you on?
Well, I'm on.
Yep, you're on.
That was quite an introduction. I'll have to pay that out in payments.
I'll take it.
I want to teach more than anything else and be relatively brief tonight, but I want to, above everything else, I want to help somebody that may need. If I can help somebody, that'll be worth it all tonight. But I want to give you one Finnism. I've given it to you before. It has to do with giving. I know you're a giving church. Just in case you're questioning it, let me tell you, don't never be caught in a storm with God's money in your pocket. I want to ask you one question before I begin tonight. Have you ever been in trouble or in need and went to pray and the heavens were brass? Has anybody ever encountered that? I guess the rest of you have just prayed through every time, but we find ourselves occasionally seemingly like the heavens were brass. Daniel faced that, but his prayer still got through, didn't they? Because there was a hindrance in the heavens, and I'm not going to go into any deep theological discourse tonight, but by the same token, I want to tell you that I want to talk to you, entitle this little teaching tonight, Come With Me to the Altar. Come With Me to the Altar. And I'm going to show you, I wonder if you'd be interested in, during the times of need, there is things in the heavenlies that demonic spirits that try to hinder us from getting through. We've known that from Scripture. But what if, as we prayed, our prayers purified the air, brought new beginnings, brought a fresh new beginning, brought fresh cleansing, and kept us from the snares that the enemy set for you? Did you know the Scripture teaches us how to have all those things? How many of you rest in those four things? Amen. So let's read from Revelation, the 8th chapter and the 3rd verse. And another angel came and stood at the altar. Everybody say altar. Having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense. Everybody say incense. That he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar. Again, the word altar applies. I'm going to teach here just tonight, probably, which was before the throne. And then verse 4, and the smoke of the incense, again, the word incense, which came with the prayers of the saints up before God and out of the angel's hand. So we find here that the writer is talking about the altar, prayer, and incense. David said in Psalms 141:2, Lord, may my prayer be set before you like incense, and keep me from the snare which has been set for me. Now, the word incense, let me just share it with you. The word incense in the Hebrew really means, when it's mixed with prayer, that these three things happen. It purifies the air. So prayer and really purifies the air. The devil can't stand, especially in our prayer language. He has to back off. He doesn't know what we're saying. It's directly to God. It also brings new beginnings. We all need new beginnings from time to time. Can you say amen? It also brings a fresh cleansing. My, there's nothing like a spring morning after a shower. Everything is fresh and new. And it also keeps us from the snare that the enemy has set for us. The enemy is constantly engaged in the activity of hindering us in our walk with the Lord. Now, I'm not telling you anything you don't know. You've got a pastor that teaches you, and I'm amazed as I listen to him every Sunday morning, because I'm in with this stroke, I'm not able to come to the service. I'd be here every service. But I listen to your pastor, and I'm uplifted, and I'm undergirded, and me and my wife, we just are blessed. So I want to talk to you tonight about coming to the altar. My mama could cook fried chicken like nobody else. My mother-in-law could make dumplings. Mama Connie could make those dumplings. And my mom could make homemade bread. But Mama could pray better than she could fry chicken. And she had five kids. And as they left home, although I left home first, I could still hear my mom and dad praying on occasion at an altar that they made in their living room. And they prayed, "We did all we can do now, Lord. We put them in your hands." Let me tell you something tonight. When you did all you can do, let me tell you, why don't you come with me to the altar? We know where the medicine cabinet is. We know what pain pills can do. But we have a hard time finding the altar. You can stay in why did this happen to me, or you can find an altar. Success comes from the altar. Got a bad report from the doctor? Come to the altar. No money in the bank? Come to the altar. Discouraged and can't find help? Come to the altar. Marriage in trouble? Come to the altar. Children unsaved? Come to the altar. That's all your children are in trouble? Come to the altar. Nobody to help you? Come to the altar. Somebody's going to meet you at the altar, and you're going to get up changed forever. And that somebody is Jesus the Nazarene. That tall Nazarene from Galilee will step beside you at the altar and will meet your need. Now, I'm not telling you something you don't know if you're walking with the Lord, but just hold on. We're going to do something and uncover something that may just help you. An altar is a place to meet God. Lay down your heavy burdens. Bring your hang-ups. Bring your habits. It's a turning point. If you find an altar, you'll find a job. If you find an altar, you'll get out of the hospital. Find an altar, get out of jail. Find blessings and answers at an altar. How do you measure success, church? You measure it at the altar. I ran into a man recently, pastors of church, lovely man, loves the Lord. But he told me, he said, "You know, we've just taken the altars out of our church." He said, "We just don't believe the New Testament church needs an altar." My response to him, although I was stirred up a bit, I got a little Cherokee Indian in me and a little Irish, and I get my Irish blood stirred up, and somebody says something like that, but I stayed cool. And I've been married 65 years, so I've learned to stay cool from time to time, or I don't get no supper. You all know what I mean. And I said to him, "Well, you're going to have to talk this over with the Lord, because my Bible says that there were some altars in heaven." And I read that to you tonight. There was altars, and there was incense. And this incense mixed with prayer, oh, it suggests to me and it implies to me that it, when at the altar, the air is cleared. It implies to me that the snares of the enemy is revealed and I can go around them. See, God would rather lead you around a mud puddle than have to pull you out of it. He'll do both. But he'd rather lead you around it. The snare of the enemy can be revealed. Oh, yes. Oh, let me ask you. If the altar could talk, what would it say? What would the altar say? It would say, there's a million people that have knelt at my altar and prayed. It would say that men have knelt at altars and seen the stains of teardrops in that wood. It would say, if the altar could talk, it would tell you of the blood that kept souls out of hell. It would paint a picture of dads and moms and grandpas and grandmas, boys and girls praying there and having a new start in life. If the altar could talk, oh, what it would say. It would say the storm could be quieted at the altar. It would say that burdens could be lifted at the altar. I realize this is very, very elementary tonight, but it's something that people need to hear. Because sometimes we're caught up in so many things and we forget that there's altars that relieve all of our pressures and all of our needs are met at those altars. Just a couple of years ago, I live out on the Pomme de Terre River in Pleasant Hope and out in a beautiful setting, big field that goes down to the river. Nobody around me but my neighbor, which is my daughter, and all of a sudden there was a honking outside, and I went out and looked, and there was an old beat-up pickup truck. And I looked out there, and I recognized this man. He was kind of a mountain man. He had a big beard, a big fella, and a rough. And I went out there, and he honked again, and I went out, got in the truck. First thing he did, he looked at me and said, "How can I find Jesus?" Yeah. Oh, man, you're talking my talk now. You're talking my language now. But I took him by the hand, and I explained to him that he could find Christ by putting his trust and hope and asking for forgiveness. You know what happened? That old beat-up truck, I don't know whether it was a Chevy or a Ford, it really don't make a lot of difference. It might have been a Dodge Ram, I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing, it became an altar. And somebody reached God, and somebody prayed through, and somebody's going to go to heaven, and hell missed out because of an altar. Can somebody say amen? Don't tell me you're going to take the altars out of the church. I've seen 10,000 people. I'm not exaggerating. We kept a graph. We kept track. I've seen 10,000 people saved in 25 years at Full Gospel Tabernacle in Catskill, New York, that I pastored. But one day, and I give altar calls, standing at the pulpit, and people came, yes. But one day, we was putting down a rug. I walked out in the sanctuary from my office, and there was two workers laying a new carpet. And I sat down on the altar, and all of a sudden, I thought, I've invited many, many men and women in this town to come to Jesus, and they'd nailed at the altar. Many had been caught up and raptured up, as it were, and saved from the bondage of sin. Chains had been broken. All of a sudden, it realized it's been a long time since I knelt down with somebody at an old-fashioned altar, put my arms around them, and prayed them through. And all of a sudden, I become an evangelist with an empty church with just two workers. I said, "Fellas, come on up here. I'd like to talk to you a minute." I guess they thought maybe I was going to criticize their work. I started telling them the plan of salvation. One of them kind of slid off. The other one said, I said, "Are you interested?" He said, "Yeah, I want to meet this Jesus." I said, "Turn around here and kneel with me." Where? At an altar. At an altar. At an altar. Let me tell you something. If I could put my DNA machine at the altar, let me tell you who would be there. There would be a boy by the name of Daniel Finn. My mama and dad had four kids. There'd be another sister by the name of Harrietta. There would be another brother by the name of Danny. There would be another brother by the name of Terry. And there would be this old gray-haired preacher. Hallelujah. And also, let me tell you who else would be. There would be a boy by the name of Steve Conley. There would be a boy by the name of Sam Conley. You know that man, that preacher? There would be also a woman by the name of Nancy. Let me tell you something. My mom and dad prayed my siblings through, and so did Mom and Dad Conley. Let me tell you something. If the altar could talk, it would tell tales that would make you rejoice. It would tell tales that would make you raise your hands and shout, because grandmas and grandpas have knelt, and Satan has been robbed from his work here on earth because of the altar. We have forgot that there's an altar that we can bow at, and the Word of God tells us when we bow at this altar that these four things can happen. Mixed with the incense that clears the air, reveals Satan's snares. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Isn't it wonderful? Oh, my, 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 my. Let me tell you something. That old Ford, Dodge Ram, or Chevrolet became an altar that day when I prayed that old mountain man through to salvation. There's men that can tell you that a John Deere tractor has become their altar. There's men that can tell you that a brand new Cadillac riding down the highway became their altar when they pulled it over and the Spirit of God began to deal with them. There's something about an altar. If it could talk, it would make the church go into a dancing frizzy of praise and worship before the Lord. Can somebody say amen? Oh, have somebody say the altar. The altar. Oh, my. I've seen men and women bow at the altar, but I've had to bow myself. Burdens were lifted. Things were changed. The air became fresh. Miracles happened. I collapsed a few years ago after I'd come back from resigning my church. Collapsed at the foot of my bed. I didn't know what was wrong. I had no pain, but my speech became slurred. I was taken to the hospital, and air in that hospital bed, it became an altar. I began to pray and said, God, are you through with me? Until you come there, you don't know what you're going to face when you don't know. I looked over the doctor's notes, and I read something that looked like it said paraplegic. I knew what a paraplegic was. My brother was 11 months younger than me, had been shot in the back when he was 9 years old in Evansville, Indiana. His spine was severed, and we'd carried him to the house in a little red wagon. Didn't even know he'd been shot because we didn't hear the words. He was in a wheelchair all of his life. He endured and went to school, become a teacher, but he died very young. But I knew what a paraplegic was, somebody in a wheelchair that had to have all hand controls to drive their car. I looked over there at the doctor's notes and I seen that. Suddenly, my hospital bed became an altar. My hospital bed became an altar. And I was crying out to God. I said, Lord, are you through with me? But I had a saintly, godly, prophetic man of God in Counterport, Pennsylvania by the name of Dr. David Miner. Dr. Miner called my wife on the phone when he found out. And I had no more than made this hospital bed my altar. And asked God, are you through with me? I'm ready. Till Dr. Miner called said, you tell Dr. Finn that God's not through with him yet. Have you ever been on your last leg, down to your last dollar, and needed somebody to speak a word of encouragement? Perhaps you've come to this sanctuary and you've heard your pastor. I have done it many Sunday mornings. I've had bacon and ham meat and and homemade biscuits while you're sitting in sanctuary, but I was listening to the word anyway. I was sitting there at my table watching this man of God, and he lifted me up. That became my altar whenever I was meeting God through his prophetic word. But Dr. Minor told my wife, you tell Dr. Finn, God's not through with him yet. All of a sudden, that hospital bed became my altar. And the television set in front of me, I think I've told this before, but you know, senior moment, please. A man, a preacher that I really don't care for, I won't call his name, don't agree with him on a lot of things, all of a sudden, he stopped in the middle of a message that I wasn't interested in hearing. I don't even know how I was had him on the TV in that hospital bed. But it had become an altar. All of a sudden, this man stopped. He don't know me personally. Didn't know us in the hospital. His headquarters are thousands of miles away. He looked right straight down out of that television set. And he said, I see a man laying in the hospital. And he described me perfectly. Gray-haired preacher. Describe me to the T, just moments after Dr. Minor had told my wife, and she'd call me and said, God's not through with you yet. And this man said, God told me to tell you he's not through with you yet. God can speak through donkeys. Amen. And I'm not calling him a donkey, but God's not through with you yet. My hospital bed become an altar. I don't care where you're at. It can become an altar, and you can kneel. But there's one other thing, and this is going to be relatively short tonight, but one other thing that I've observed through the years. I've pastored a lot of churches, small, most of them have been small. Always tried to say, God, help me help the people. There's been times that I've preached, I think my eye bombed out, and somebody would come and say, Pastor, you helped me this morning. And really, preaching is not for the preacher, it's for the people. It's to help, it's to convey God's word. But I've noticed a lot of times in giving altar calls, I've seen people that have come to the altar that I knew was saved. And I wondered, and it's always, altars are always open. But let me just teach you something here just for a moment. And I said, Lord, I asked the Lord about it, and I sought the Lord, and I want to share something with you tonight about the altar in a different perspective. You see, I want to talk about the lock that only prayer can pick. Did you hear me? I said, I'm going to talk to you for just a moment about the only lock. Or the lock that only prayer can pick. I believe this with all my heart. Many times we're, as Christians, and I'm talking to the church now, we'll come to the altar with heavy hearts and troubles and so on and so forth, and we don't come to get saved. And let me make this one statement. There's only one thing that deals with sin, and that's the blood. Yes. Nothing else. Only the blood. But we have what is called the Adamic nature. Now I want to teach you something here. Sometimes we call it the carnal man. Call it the flesh. But we have a nature that is Adamic. And Adam made a decision to either obey God or not obey God in the garden. And it had to do with his will. I believe that the Adamic nature has to do a lot with our will. We're saved, and I've seen a lot of people come to the altar that were saved, and if it's sin, let me reinforce it. Only one thing that deals with sin, and that's the blood. But I've seen a lot of people get up from the altar still not seemingly being able to get help. I believe it's because you cannot repent of the Adamic nature. You have to overcome it. Are you hearing me? And if you try to repent of Adamic nature, it'll leave you empty. Because let me read you scripture. You were created with choices. And let me read a couple of scriptures. And I'm not trying to tell you anything that is false. But first of all, in Hebrews 9:22, it says, almost all things are purged by blood. Almost all things. Sin is purged by blood. But the Adamic nature has, Ephesians 5:26 is talking about the church, that he may sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the, instead of trying to repent of Adamic nature in the altar. Again, if it's sin, repent. The blood's the only thing that's going to help. But if it's Adamic nature, get up and get in the Word. Pray that your will be submitted to God's will. Luke 22:41. Jesus was coming to a time that his crucifixion was drawing nigh. And he was withdrawn, and he knelt down and prayed. And verse 42 says, Father, if thou be willing. See, there's a conflict going on between Almighty God and the Son. And he was so much conditioned to be willing to do his Father's will. But he was saying, Father, you showed me your cup, and I've seen what's in it. And if it be your will, let it pass from me. But nevertheless, not your will, but thy will be done. Jesus submitted himself to the Father's will through two things. He knelt down and he asked the Father to let him be willing to do his will, not his own will. I went to a church for several years, and I'm going to close with this, but I want to tell you, we are cleansed from Adamic nature by the washing of the water of the Word. Somebody says, what is Adamic nature? Well, you know, it's these things that we, our will, that we make a decision and choices that sometimes is not in the will of the Father for us to do. Not sin, because sin can only be dealt with the blood. But you see, God said to the serpent, I'm going to cast you out, you're going to go on your belly, and you're going to eat dust all the days of your life. Serpent don't eat dust, as we know, but the serpent's meat is the carnal nature of man. Yeah. The devil has a right to chew on you if you let your carnal nature get out of control. Right. Are you hearing me? That's why it's so important to get the carnal nature under control by the washing of the water of the Word. Get into the Word. If you'll quote the Word every day and you'll pray every day, that's the lock that can be picked with prayer and the washing of the water of the Word. I'm going to close tonight because I just hope this struck somebody and helped somebody. But I'm going to tell you a real story. For several years, I went to Denver, Colorado, preached in a church, and it was a Mexican church. Sweet, wonderful people. But they was bound by religion, tradition. I mean, no haircut for the women. You know, the poor women got it whenever we try to get religion telling us how to live for God, you know. To be holy, you got to. And I believe that we need to live right, talk right, and spit white. Don't get me wrong. But it was, I mean, no lipstick, no rouge. And they had me come in for about 3 or 4 years in a row, sweet, wonderful people. And they was trying to have revival. And the pastor had me come in and pray a prayer line. And it was extremely hard. There was so much religion. And those people wanted God. And they were sweet, wonderful, treated me wonderfully. One time I was there, and Sunday night, and I already made up my mind, it was so difficult to preach in that church, so difficult, because it just, everything that you did was wrong. They was so bound by religion, so bound by do's and don'ts. So that night I preached a message on the grace of God, how it was wonderful, and I don't have to go into all the details. I preached on the grace of God. But I did something and that I believe was the Holy Spirit, but I wasn't sure. Have you ever did anything you wasn't sure about? Amen. But you did it because you knew that if you didn't, you was afraid that you was going to grieve the Holy Spirit. And the pastor's wife would sit in the service, wouldn't crack a smile, and the rest of the congregation just echoed her defiance. Never said amen. I mean, she was sweet and wonderful when I'd go to their home and cook me wonderful meals, tacos and burritos and the greatest Mexican food you ever eat. But she'd sit there defiant. It looked like it that way. And she was a pretty hefty sister. You all know what I mean. And she could have played linebacker for the Chicago Bears probably, but excuse me, Lord, I repent. See, I had to deal with my demon nature right there. But I went by Walmart on the way to church that night, and I got some of the brightest red lipstick you ever seen. And I got some rouge. And I preached the message on grace, and they just expected me to pray for the sick, and we'd seen a lot of miracles, but it was a tough place. I don't remember my mind. I wasn't going back there. It was just, I love those people, but I walked up to this sister. I'm going to call her name. I pulled out my lipstick, and I painted her lips. That was the cardinal sin, folks, with this religion that had gripped them. I smeared rouge all over her face. I knew I was going to be kicked out of there and gone forever if this was not the Holy Spirit. I'll be truthful with you. But I said, I'm going to break this religious spirit one way or another. And I waited. And all of a sudden, she jumped up, shouted, raised her arm, said, "Thank God I'm free! I'm free! I'm free from the demonic nature! I'm free from the carnal man!" And she danced all over the church, shouted that whole place. They had about 100 people. They'd been trying for years to grow. Had about 100 people. They was all shouting. And the pastor grabbed me and said, "Can you stay another night?" I said, "Yes." On Monday night, I came back, and every woman in that church had gone to Walmart and bought them some jeans and were in the church. Woo! Let me tell you something. They had a Holy Ghost breakdown. It wasn't long, and I can take you to the place. They built a sanctuary and a new church because the Spirit of God began to move in that place, not because that they had sin in their life, but because they was dealing with an old religious spirit that hindered them. Come with me to the altar if you have sin. Get saved. Come with me to the altar and get into the Word if you got a demonic nature working in your life. And let's see victory in Jesus' name.